is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Happy almost Friday! 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 Just saying it makes me have a little extra juice. So happy almost Friday to you. Just a few more hours. And we've got so much to keep us company, including laughing at the fact that the very first NFL preseason game ended before the third quarter reached its 3-minute mark. Of course, we should know by now, this is a thing where the Hall of Fame game the last 3 years has had major interruptions, weather delays, and in this case, it wasn't that long ago, too, that we had a field issue and they completely had to postpone it. This is a rite of passage now because it's August 1st. That's why. It's the middle of the summer still, and there are all kinds of weather issues all over the place with humidity and heat and thunderstorms, obviously. And so the severe weather in Canton, Ohio, interrupted the Hall of Fame game, and I'm glad they didn't worry about coming back out on the field to finish it, because there's no need to do that. It's fake football, but for a while, it's a pretty sweet substitution, at least the sounds. Maybe not the names, maybe not the competition, although it was kind of fun to see Davis Mills lead the opening drive for the Texans, what was it, 70-something yards, to get down into get into the end zone. So all kinds of Davis Mills memes and jokes there on social. And Brett Rypien, how about him with, he's one of the old dudes now. 3 touchdowns for the Bears. And here's the thing. If you don't know this about me, I will repeat it. I generally repeat it multiple times during football preseason. It is against my religion to give scores for preseason or spring training or anything like that. It does not matter. And my theory is that the worse you are in preseason, the better your season's going to be. Or the flip side, the more games you win in the preseason, the worse your season is going to be when the games actually count. I'm telling you, it's a thing. There's all kinds of evidence that would support my theory. So yeah, you don't really want to win in the preseason, and I don't even know who won. But I will say the game was terminated, such a good word, ended, cut short, cut off. In the third quarter, we'd seen plenty. As long as they got through halftime and the festivities for the Hall of Famers, because that's what this weekend is really all about. And they will be inducted and celebrated come Saturday in Canton. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I like to say Saturday too. Friday, Saturday. There was a listener. I'm going to assume he's a relatively new listener. There's a listener who reached out to me on social today to ask me if I worked every night, if I hosted the show every night. That sounds terrible. No, I do not host the show every night. I would be not only extremely cranky, but I would not have nearly as much joy doing this job if there were no nights off. That's what I say. Plus, you can't miss me if I never go away. So I'm going to go away on the weekend and then be back with you on Sunday night. How about that? I didn't even respond to the guy on social because I wasn't sure how to do it without being snarky. So I thought I would wait, or sarcastic. And then I just am never sure if sarcasm translates over social, so I decided that I would wait. We got a lot to talk about. I'm excited to see a little bit of preseason football on my TV, though we did not see either CJ Stroud or Caleb Williams, other than just running up and down the field on the sidelines, not actually between the white lines, but on the sidelines, supporting teammates, and D'Amico Ryans and Matt Eberflus, and this new kickoff model that we're getting. Turns out the results, at least for this one preseason game, and not even a full game, but the results weren't all that different. It looks a whole lot different, but the results were not all that different. And so We're off and running in preseason, but we're not going to get too jacked up about it. Another night at the Olympics, and I dare say with the star power and the A-listers, including USA men's basketball, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Drew Holiday, Tyrese Halliburton, he was actually loud. I could hear him cheering. It was really neat to see them supporting Simone Biles and Suni Lee in the women's all-around competition. So between... I'm sure he was doing that. He was bouncing up and down and having a grand old time. And he wasn't the only one. Martha Stewart, Seth Rogen. Shoot. I had all these celebrities that were in my head, and now I can't remember them all. There were many. In fact, they're re-airing right now on NBC overnight, and so I'll be able to see them again.
Zinedine Zidane was also
That's right. Zinedine Zidane was there, of course, Algerian but French football player. So yeah, it was a packed house. And from what Steve Futterman told us, he joined us in Paris about 21 hours ago. He was here on the show to wrap up our last show. He told us that it's a very expensive ticket to get. Now, I highly doubt that other Olympians have to pay, but I could be wrong. It seemed like USA men's basketball and some of the other Olympians that were there were wearing their credentials. So I don't know whether or not they had to buy tickets. However, they had to have seats. I also noticed that when it comes to family members, for Suni Lee, she had her mom and a different sister in the crowd this night than Tuesday when the team competition was taking place. And then she had two other sisters there. So I was wondering if the athletes maybe only get a couple seats and then the rest you actually have to buy. So I'm not sure exactly how it works out, only that it was a packed house. I know... It was a hot ticket to get. According to Futterman, the tickets were $1,000+ to get into some of these gymnastics events featuring Simone Biles, and people wanted to be there, wanted to say they were in the building. And it was kind of cool to see all the guys from the basketball team actually filming the women's all around, specifically the routines for Simone Biles. And it was pretty amazing to watch this competition play out, because it was close until the end. At one point, Simone was actually in third place. I think that was after two rotations. She was in third place. And so to see her, and then to see Suni, who started after the vault, was down in eighth place and managed to get onto the podium as a bronze medalist. It was awesome. So really proud of them. I got teary watching the families, of course, and then watching them in all the tension perform, but the big smiles, even in the middle of their floor routines. It was awesome to see them break out with these enormous smiles when they had either safely achieved one of their tumbling passes or knew that the routines would be enough to accomplish their goals. So that was awesome. And when we finally get to see the TV viewership numbers from Thursday night, I dare say that the Olympics and Simone Biles, which they were mixed in with some swimming finals, as well as what else was taking place on Thursday evening that I saw. There was something else that they were jumping to. But with the swimming and the gymnastics being the marquee events, because of the star power, I believe that you'll see viewership numbers for the Olympics dwarf the NFL in its preseason, its Hall of Fame game, which never happens, very rarely. But actually, if Caleb Williams had been playing or CJ Stroud had been playing, the numbers might have been a little bit different. So we've got some quarterback news. We've got football, fake football. We've got more golds for female American Olympians, which is awesome. Yeah, yeah, USA, USA. And we're nearing the end of our first week in Paris. Gosh, a lot has happened. You know, we haven't even gotten to track and field, and the Americans have the largest team in track and field of any of the sports. That one is enormous. The team photo is about as large as what you would get with a football roster. And so it's going to be great even the next week. So we get speed in the pool, and then next week we'll get speed on the track. And we've got soccer down to its quarterfinals and basketball down to its quarterfinals and soon down to its quarterfinals. Tennis is actually into its semifinals now, so we're into the final four at tennis, and we've got both Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz into the semis. Now, Novak is apparently dealing with some knee pain again. Not sure if it's related to what he was dealing with at the French Open, but he continues to play. And at this point, he and Carlos, should they win their semis, would meet in the final. How about that? And so, it's going to be a lot of fun to see some of these marquee matchups. Also, golf is underway. And from what I read, 20,000 fans at Le Golf. National. That's what it's called. Le Golf National.
Leon. Le Golf.
Leon and Le Golf. Yeah, no Leon.
LeBron.
LeBron. I don't think LeBron is French. So.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong. So Le Golf was very attractive to the fans there in Paris. And everything that I've seen online, whether it be video or just the reports of people who are there, is that the crowds at every venue and every event are terrific. They're loud, they're boisterous, they're energetic, and it's not just for the marquee events that feature Americans. It's also for events that other countries are really good in. For instance, table tennis, right? It's some of the other events where you get international fans that are crushing it. So it's kind of cool. I know that we talked about this before the game started, that there weren't nearly as many Americans traveling to these games in Paris as what many of the travel agents had expected. The numbers were way below expectations, and maybe that's because of the expense and where our economy is right now. It's tough for a lot of middle-class Americans to even fathom taking a trip like this. But in the days leading up to the games, my husband and I were actually talking about this. He read it in a column where if you were in Paris or you could get to Paris, the tickets for the game, some of the events were coming down because they hadn't sold out. And hotel rooms were available all over the place because they hadn't sold out of the hotels the way that they expected. So I hope that people were able to get there. I hope that more people who wanted to could attend some of these events. But I do know that at this point, and this is something we heard from Christopher Clary when he joined us earlier in the week from Paris, that the international crowds have been terrific because many Europeans are pouring into Paris. It's not hard to travel from country to country in Europe, and you can take trains, you can take buses, all that kind of stuff. And so it's easier for them to get there, obvi, than it is for us, and cheaper too. So there's certainly been some cool crowds and some great atmosphere so far, and I dare say it will get even better as we head through the next week and a half. Online, A-Law Radio, you all bombarded me with all of your indulgent foods that you would eat if you were Katie Ledecky. And I got to tell you, I had to put all of them out of my mind. This is when I left the show on Thursday morning and went to the grocery store. I had to put all of them out of my mind. By the way, I'm pretty sure I had 20 items when I went through the self-checkout line. And I just walked up and started running my items like I own the joint. In fact, the lady that was guarding the self-checkout lines where you're only supposed to have 15 items or fewer now, she was kind of looking the other direction. So I hurried up to one of the registers and started scanning items even before I got my bags out, because I figured if I started scanning, then what's she going to do? Cancel out my transaction? Nah.
That'd be incredibly petty.
Right? Too early in the morning for that. And so I just went ahead and marched up, and it was my second time through. Someone did notice today, the woman who was at the door that says goodbye and just make sure you had a receipt, she definitely did a double take and wondered why I was leaving the store a second time, because she'd already said to me, have a great day, have a nice weekend, thank you. And so on my second way out the door, my second time out the door with my second round of 15 to 20 items, she looked at me funny, like, wait a minute, I feel like I've seen her before.
There are a couple of videos that show up on my algorithm in which somebody walks by somebody
and then their twin, their identical twin, will be right behind them and walk past that same person.
That's
and they'll
amazing.
Do a double, triple take and say, "Oh, wait a minute. Didn't I just that attendant at Walmart definitely had that same thought."
Oh yeah, she did a double take. That's amazing. I wish I had a twin so I could do that. You know who could do that?
That's evil.
The McCourtys. I made them promise. So I interviewed them in Miami before the Super Bowl in 2020 and had them both on set, and I made them promise that they would not pull a fast one and that Jason and Devin would be Jason and Devin, and they swore to me. They said they had done it in the past with people like teachers, that kind of stuff, and just to prank people, but that they swore they would not pretend to be the other one so I would get confused.
Twins can be evil at sometimes.
Well, and they are identical.
Yeah, no, I still can't tell those guys apart, and they've been in my life, a part of my life for a decade and a half.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to be twins, I suppose. I've actually got a couple of friends who are identical twins, and it's neat to see them together. Also, they're a lot of times have this ethereal connection, this mental and emotional and spiritual connection, just like can finish each other's sentences. Now, in my Sunday school class, I have a couple of juniors in high school who are not identical twins. And they're Jordan and Dylan, but they still, it's amazing. Not only how much they look alike, but how much they act alike. So twins are fun. I don't have any twins. I wish I did have a twin, I suppose. I don't know. I kind of like being the oldest, the firstborn, the type A. Are you surprised? Don't be surprised. So online, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we will start with the Olympics. Because it's Simone Biles, and I'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. In addition, we will talk some football and the new kickoff rules. Wait until you hear what Mike Tomlin has to say about the new kickoff rules. Kind of fun. We'll get to some QB news. We've got a couple of injuries that may potentially affect starting quarterbacks when the season kicks off. And if you're wondering, I don't have a day countdown just because I'm not that anal retentive. I know Russell Baxter does, though. If you follow him online, he's a longtime NFL writer and historian. He definitely has a daily countdown until the NFL season kicks off. But Friday is August 2nd. The season begins September 5th. So we're just over a month away. I'm excited about it. But then I think, shoot, my whole life, it becomes not my own. The other thing, too, and I'll just be cranky for a second. My husband and I did yard work. It needed to be done. We were trying to wait for a day when it wasn't quite so hot and humid that it just was going to get worse over the weekend. Plus, there's rain coming on Friday. So we needed to get it done. So he mowed the backyard, edged both front and back, and did some weed whacking. I mowed the front yard, weeded by hand, because there's some places where you have to weed by hand, and started cleaning up while I swept all the sidewalks and started working on some of the flower beds along the driveway and was cleaning up all of that debris. So we were outside for 90 minutes. I was dripping. I know, super attractive, but like dripping as though I'd gotten out of a shower with my clothes on because it was 96 degree heat index. The humidity is just...
One might say muggy buggy.
Oh, muggy buggy, no huggy. Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's why he and I just really didn't talk for a couple of hours. We were annoyed. We were cranky. We were trying not to take it out on each other. So we were fairly silent. I started doing work after that. He went outside to grill. I can't believe he wanted to grill after that, but he did. He's a terrific chef when it comes to the grill. So yeah, we were just kind of in our separate corners, different parts of the property after being outside in the nasty yard work. And I chose, this is one of those things I'm learning as a wife. There are times in my past, well, and there are times even since I've gotten married in the last 8 months, where I'll say something and then afterwards think, oh, why did you even say that? Poor dude's working so hard. So what if he made a mess? Whatever, whatever. Well, I noticed that he was getting the food ready. He had brought the fish inside. That his entire back was covered with yard debris. So pieces of grass and other stuff. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. That's going all over my kitchen floor. That's right. And I thought about making a little joke about it. And I was like, oh, maybe I won't. There are more important things in life. Just, you know, I'll sweep this weekend. I'm learning as a wifey poo. Anyway, glad Thursday's done because it was a doozy. And I know it's going to be hot and humid and with some thunderstorms over the weekend. So just be buckled up. It's not just in my part of the country. I get it. Okay, we're off and running. Gymnastics next. Simone Biles back on top. She's an icon, of course. She has a goat necklace to match. She draws all of the A-listers and the star power. But really, the story is so much deeper than just her being a legend in her sport. And over the last 4 years, she's become much more of a, I think, a person that we can relate to, if not the gymnastics part, at least the part about being a human and dealing with what humans have to deal with sometimes. Happy Almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
3 years ago, I never thought I'd step foot on a gymnastics floor again just because of everything that had happened. But with the help of Cecile and Laurent, I got back in the gym and worked really hard mentally and physically. Even this morning at 7 a.m., I saw my therapist and there's a time change. So she is so amazing for allowing me to do that these couple of days here in Paris.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
I love the human element to what Simone Biles has accomplished. Obviously, what she does on the balance beam, the uneven bars, my goodness, the floor exercise, the vault. Even Kevin Durant was raving about her airtime, if you will, her bounce, as he called it, her calves, and wishes he had calves like her. So yes, she's a world-class athlete, and what she does on these various apparati, is that a word? On these various apparati, on these various apparatuses. See, I just don't think that's right, but I could be way off. That is something almost no one in the world can do, right? Not at her level. But when you realize what Simone has faced, what she's conquered, where she was a few years ago, the reaction to the decision she made in Tokyo to bow out because of the twisties and because of her mental health. The criticism was white hot. It was swift. It was overwhelming. I've heard interviews with her in which she's indicated that she wasn't sure she would ever compete again, that in Tokyo, she thought that might be the last time that she ever was at an Olympic meet or at a meet, an elite level meet. She didn't know if she'd be able to get back to this level. And for a while, she wasn't even sure she wanted to. Again, heard interviews with her in which she has talked about battling over it, battling her physical body, battling her mind. You heard her say that even on that Thursday morning, this is Paris time now, Thursday morning, with the time change, she was able to connect with her therapist, I'm assuming back here in the United States, was able to talk to her and go through it. She did the same thing on Tuesday morning before the team final. That maybe helps us to understand a little more those humongous smiles, the relief and the joy. And it's not that different for Suni Lee. Different circumstances. But she talks about how 6 months ago, she had to start relearning all of these gymnastics skills and events all over again because her muscle memory was gone. And yet there she is back on the podium in a comeback style. So won the all-around gold 3 years ago in Tokyo, and after multiple serious, as in career jeopardizing, kidney issues, lots of medication, lots of time where she couldn't work out at all, she's now a bronze medalist again. Pretty amazing. Congratulations to both those two young women who inspire as much as they dazzle. Now, you may have noticed once Simone and Suni had run all over the floor exercise mat with the American flag and were taking photos and were just really soaking in the adoration of the crowd there, she put on a goat necklace and, of course, was asked about her necklace.
My goat necklace is just kind of an ode because the people love it and then some people hate it. So it's like the best of both worlds. And I was like, okay, if it goes well, we'll wear the goat necklace. I know people will go crazy over it. But at the end of the day, it is crazy that I am in the conversation of greatest of all athletes because I just still think I'm Simone Biles from Spring, Texas that loves to flip.
That loves flip. It's amazing. And you can hear her smile as she says it. That perspective is critical as well, to remember who you are, where you came from, to not let the social media, the attention, the fame become paramount because it's fleeting, right? The adoration of the crowds, it'll die down. It goes away. You think about the other goats in their sports. Or even think about all-around champions from 8 years ago. I was asked as part of our Hump Show Ask Amy Anything some of my favorite Olympic moments, non-American. And I remember a few that I adored when I was younger, when I was a teenager. Steffi Graf won the Olympic gold medal in tennis, and she's my favorite female athlete of all time. I remember Katarina Witt, who was a figure skater, and I was in awe of her. I loved watching her. She was so graceful and yet so powerful, and she also won a couple gold medals. So I remember her last one. And now here we are, a couple decades later, and people might know who they are, but people might not. Fame is fleeting. And while no one may ever replicate what she's done in gymnastics, there will come a time, a couple decades down the road, where it'll be a couple lines when it comes to Simone Biles, right? Even Michael Phelps, as much as Michael Phelps, you want to talk about a goat in the swimming pool, as much as he is and may always be the dude with the most medals ever. We're getting to a generation that didn't watch him swim. Right? And so that fame, that recognition, it'll go away. The spotlight, it'll shine somewhere else. But if you remember who you are, and if you know the people that matter to you the most, well, that's what keeps you grounded. I love seeing Simone's sister and also Suni's sisters, but Simone's sister, she was so emotional, just crying, just really into it, as you can imagine, living and dying with every twist, every turn, every moment. Now, Simone did have a bit of a slip up on the uneven bars. They kind of went through the technical aspect of it, but she was not psyched with herself when she got off of the mat there. Nearly fell, so they call it a fall if your feet touch the ground. Just a timing issue as she was going from high bar to low bar, and that put her in a bit of a hole that she had to climb out of.
I'm not sure what the camera caught or what I was doing. I was probably praying to every single god out there, trying to refocus and recenter myself, because that's not the bars that I've been training. Out of all of the events, I think bars is the one that I haven't messed up on, like, once the whole entire training here or back in Houston. So just refocusing and making sure that as soon as we go to beam, since I'm first up, I can just recenter myself and finish the rest of the competition, because it's not over till it's over.
Well, that's kind of the thing, right, is her uneven bars was the second apparatus for her, the second rotation. She still had two to come. And her balance beam routine is so difficult. You have to, like every athlete, put the last play, the last moment, the last snap, the last rotation out of your mind, or it mentally can affect you moving forward. As for Suni, really cool, because she was fifth place or maybe she was tied for fourth. She was tied for fourth going into the floor exercise. And it certainly looked like she was having a pep talk for herself as she was waiting for her opportunity to go on the floor. And she had watched a couple of her closest competitors go right before her. And so she kind of knew what she was up against. But it took a while for the judges to get the scores processed and posted. And so she was standing up there by the mat talking to herself. And it looked like she was saying one last time, have fun, let's do this. It just kind of same types of phrases and encouragement that we might tell ourselves or that her coach or her family would tell her. And so, yeah, the camera was focused on her as she was getting ready for that last routine.
After Beam, I honestly was just telling myself, like, there's really no shot for a medal. So I was just like, just go out there and have fun. And that's exactly what I did. I did everything that I was supposed to. And here we are. I'm so happy with my medal. I mean, I didn't even think that I would be here. So to be here is just a blessing in itself.
Suni Lee on NBC following her bronze medal in the all-around. So between her and Simone, it's pretty incredible that neither thought that they would make it this far or that they would survive to all of the different competitions you have to get to, all the different levels and layers and check marks that you have to reach in order to get back to the Olympics. And not only that, they are all-around gold and bronze medalists, and the United States certainly celebrating both Simone and Suni now, which is awesome. Online, A-Law Radio. Be great to connect with you on this early August night. It's hot. It's humid in lots of places. But it's almost Friday, which seems to help. Oh, and it's our payday on Friday, which gives us a little extra pizzazz. 855-212-4227. Even as Simone was grabbing another gold medal in gymnastics, well, Katie Ledecky became the most decorated American Olympian female competitor of all time. Awesome. And then top of the hour, we'll do some football because they're tweaking the kickoff. They're fooling around with stuff. Good to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It is Australia, and Ariane Tiffis going to take it home for gold for Australia. Aaron Gemmell fighting hard to make sure Ledecky's medal is a silver, and that's exactly what she's going to deliver. Australia wins gold. Gemmell to the wall. And number 13 in the record books for Ledecky. The most decorated U.S. female Olympian of all time.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Pretty cool to see what's unfolded in this first week of the Olympics for some highly decorated female Olympians. Katie Ledecky picked up her 13th Olympic medal, this time silver in a relay on Thursday, even as Simone Biles was winning another all-around gold. And so you've got these two women who are most decorated gymnast and then most decorated female swimmer of all time, and second only to Michael Phelps. But not just that, take her out of the swimming category, and those 13 medals make her second, make her most medals ever for a female American at the Olympics level. And remember, they also compete in world championships and U.S. championships. And so many other medals and awards and championships have gone into them being able to gather so many Olympic medals, which is amazing. So congratulations to both of them. And we will see Katie Ledecky one more time, barring some unforeseen circumstances and what would be just a huge shock. She is expected to compete for another medal in the 800 meter freestyle. So she did the 1500, which is the longest event, and is expected to compete for gold in the 800 meter freestyle, which is about half, right? But still, it blows my mind how many laps up and back, up and back, up and back. A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. It's good to have you with us after hours with Amy Lawrence. If you missed the women's gymnastics competition, well, you can catch it actually now. It's re-airing on NBC. But also, you can find all of this stuff on the NBC YouTube channel. I actually prefer to watch it unfold without the major interruptions or without seeing it in specialized clips, because then you really get the feel inside the arena and also the reaction from fans and families and all that stuff. And so I like to see it without it being interrupted. But I know that I was watching the tape version. I already knew the results even as I was watching on Thursday night, but it didn't take away from my enjoyment of it. Even though I knew what was going to happen, I still appreciated the drama and was very much into the competition.
I got a text message at 10:30 Eastern time from one of my best friends asking if what she was watching on the TV was live. And I had to remind her that no, because in Paris it's 4:30 in the morning right now. So yeah, she forgot about the time difference. So again, yeah, people, what you're watching, yeah, happened about 6 hours ago, PSA.
So one thing that you can look for is underneath the peacock and the Olympic rings, when it is happening, as you're watching it, you'll see the word live. So right now, as I'm rewatching the women's gymnastics, there's no live in all caps underneath the peacock and the ring. So yeah, by the time we get to say final hour of our show or even second half of our show,
USA is going to have that live coverage.
There'll be volleyball, there'll be soccer, there'll be some sport that we'll be able to watch live on USA. And I dare say you could on Peacock as well. And they have to put live on it so you know that it's taking place in these moments. Now, we have attempted to reach out to a couple of different reporters who are covering the basketball in Paris. Hard because of the time change to get the confirmation when we wanted it. So I don't actually know if we're going to have a guest in our final hour. Hoping so, but not sure. This has just been a fun week, and even just to hear the limited post-match and post-event reaction has been fun. Some of it coming from NBC directly. Like the story of Katie Douglas, her first Olympics, and she won gold in the 200-meter breaststroke earlier on Thursday. And yeah, she's still pretty young. She's one of the newer members of the swim team. But she was asked by Melissa Stark whether or not this race went according to plan.
I mean, I feel like this was a long time coming. I kind of feel like I was physically ready for this race. Just what I've done in practice these last few months leading up to this meet, I knew if I executed that race well, that I would win it.
So that's Katie Douglas, and along with Canadian teenager Summer McIntosh, who had another win and a dominating performance in Paris, you've got two young stars who likely will be around again in 4 years in L.A. So McIntosh had a victory in the 200-meter fly. Reagan Smith then ended up with the silver in that event. But Katie Douglas had 200-meter breaststroke gold, and it's kind of neat, too, because also in that final was the, we'll say that was the reigning queen of the event, Lily King. This is her final Olympics, so almost a handing off of kind of the title and the responsibility to Katie Douglas. So it's kind of neat to see how these teammates support one another and actually how they congratulate their opponents and their competitors as well. A lot of times they see them at world championships, they see them at other meets. And so in some cases they know each other fairly well. Chicago Johnny is in Las Vegas, wants to weigh in on the swimming. Hello.
Good morning, Amy.
Is it your morning? It's only 11:52 there.
Well, I'm going by your time.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not my morning. It's dark out. I haven't slept yet. It's still my Thursday night.
Hey, first of all, apparatus is a proper
word. Nice. Apparatus. I nailed it.
And it means a different a combination of different apparatuses.
Thank you.
So that's what that means. And then number two, rice pudding.
That's what you would eat if you could indulge in it every day.
Every day.
Every day.
And here's the thing. We can't get it out here. Nobody sells rice pudding.
Why?
Not one restaurant sells rice pudding.
That's weird.
I don't know why. But anyway, all right, here's my swimming question.
Yeah.
Either men's or swimming. I mean men's or women's swimming. Why are 98 to 99% of the winners and come from lane 4 or 5?
Well, because that's where the fastest times are. So when they qualify, the fastest times go in the middle of the pool, and then they fan out from there, right? So lanes 1 and 8 on either end, they're the ones that are the slowest of the qualifying times in the final. So if you are among the favorites, you're in the middle of the pool.
You're half correct. But the other answer is because in lanes 4 and 5 are less splash and less waves.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you earned those.
That's why they're the fastest waves.
Yeah. Well, you earned those spots by having the fastest qualifying times. Yeah. Good stuff.
One last thing.
Yeah. Hurry up.
Guess what I'm doing Saturday?
Going to the pool.
Yes and no. I'm going to an Olympic watching party.
Oh, fun.
At Caesar's Palace.
Oh, that'll be fun.
All proceeds go to the U.S. Paralympics.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Johnny, I'm sorry we're up against the top of the hour. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you in Hot Vegas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.